trucks and cars in brand new Dodges, Chryslers, Ford, Suzuki's, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on the balance. That's WolfAutoGroup.com. Many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Colonel Ron Ray. Colonel Ray is a retired Marine Corps colonel. He actually served on a presidential commission back in the early 1990s, trying to determine whether or not, of course, we should allow open homosexuality and women in combat in the military. And he was an assistant to the Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. Colonel Ray is certainly on the front lines of the battle to preserve America, to preserve moral standards within the military. This morning we're going to be talking about a recent email that's been circulated among high-ranking military officers in Iraq. A very, very provocative idea. But I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let Colonel Ray talk to you about what's going on. And of course, the question is, why did we go into Iraq? Oh, well, it was just a mistake. We thought Saddam Hussein had all those terrible weapons of mass destruction, and they were going to rain them down on New York any time. Saddam was going to attack us. That's why we had to attack him before he attacked us. And is there anybody in the audience who honestly thinks that Saddam Hussein was going to attack the United States, knowing full well that we would simply eliminate Iraq? We would drop nuclear weapons there and vaporize the whole country. Does anybody honestly believe that? Well, Saddam was going to turn him over to Osama bin Laden. Well, Sybil Edmonds has come forward and said that Osama bin Laden was always an American asset. Her recent articles, and you can find them on the Internet, pointing out that the United States had used Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda. We backed them in Bosnia. We backed them in Kosovo. We were using Osama bin Laden and working with Osama bin Laden right up until September 11th. And so maybe most of what we've been told isn't true. So why does all our boys go in there and fight and bleed and suffer and die? And of course, they never talk about the tens of thousands of permanent casualties of American boys whose lives have been destroyed because George Bush just got it wrong. Or did he get it wrong? Well, Colonel, I'm going to let you pick up the story and tell us your thoughts on Iraq, on America's involvement in other people's wars.
Well, I think, Stan, that's a mouthful of information, and I think I like to start sort of back at the beginning, in a way, and I think what's interesting is how little American and world history has been taught in our schools for the last 50 years, maybe longer. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the nature and origins of the media monopoly, because the point would be, how could the American people be deceived? And they were deceived. And this has been going on for a great deal of time that most Americans know there's something wrong, but they think, oh, well, Miss Jones, who goes to the First Baptist Church with me, teaches social studies over at our high school, and I know everything's fine in our high school, but in point of fact, the only way we, the people, can function is if there's a free and unfettered press that's actually being a watchdog on the levers of power at the county level, at the state level, and, of course, at the national level, and you need to have some source of information. Of course, if you have this emerging global economy we're in, you certainly ought to have some idea of the history of world affairs, including, you know, how was Iraq created and all that kind of thing. And so the most important historian at any one time, and if you're well-informed, if you're taught the history, then you're going to understand the significance of the events that unfold, whether you get it from magazines, newspapers. You know, if you see the events beginning to unfold, you have a background. You have a context in which to make a judgment. But so many people don't, so they listen to Rush Limbaugh and they think, you know, that whatever his rant of the day is, that's the truth. But the most important historian, and I've asked this of hundreds of school teachers, high school teachers, because we get to talk to a lot of juniors and seniors in high school in the JROTC programs, and it's very interesting to ask them, well, who's the most important historian, the most influential historian in government? And none of them know, because they don't know anything about how the government really functions. But there's a librarian appointed to the Library of Congress who's responsible for giving historical context and answering historical questions for the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House of Representatives, and their staffs. And when Daniel Boorstin, before he became librarian of the Library of Congress, and he was there from 75 to 87, he wrote a book called The Image, A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America. I'm going to say that again for your listeners. He wrote a book in 1961, which was published, The Image, A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America. And here's the most influential historian in the country. We're not talking about an academic. We're talking about somebody who answers the life and death questions that are asked every day to the library, Office of the Librarian of the Library of Congress. Currently, it's James Billington, who you and I both know for his authorship of Fire in the Minds of Men, The Origins of the Revolutionary Faith, where he traces the influence of revolutionary secret society movements from 1750 to nearly 1900 in that book. And again, he got a lot of attention to that book, and George W. Bush gave at least one speech in which he actually used the phrase fire in the minds of men in a context which lets you know that somebody who wrote that speech understood what was in that book. This is what Librarian of the Library of Congress said: Americans live in a world of pseudo-facts which is created for them by their own media. Now, that just hearing that should alarm every American to begin to start to question the information. Ben Bagdikian, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner for the Washington Post, was alarmed during the Carter years that there were only 52 based American companies that controlled all information that Americans got, whether it was newspapers, magazines, movies, radio, any content, any information received. It was 52 based American companies. And he was alarmed, and he wrote a book called The Media Monopoly. When it was published, people said he was an alarmist, and they kind of poo-pooed it, because that sounds really strong on a media monopoly. But when he came out with the edition in 2000, the sixth edition, the number of corporations controlling all of America's daily newspapers, magazines, radio, television, books, and movies had dropped from 50 to 10 to 6 to where it's 4 today. And that should mean that people would be alarmed, because they actually don't have good and accurate information, and they don't realize what they're hearing. Even the Internet now is controlled essentially by four companies. And that is, I think, the story, as big a story as 9/11 and the Iraq War were. You have to understand, how is it possible to put this over on so many of the American people?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Hi, Phil here with WolfAutoGroup.com, saying thanks for trading with us. We're excited to take your dust collecting or unused assets or valuables as down payments on the finest used trucks and cars, in brand-new Dodges, Chryslers, Fords, Suzukis, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on the balance. That's WolfAutoGroup.com. Many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
Life as we know it is about to change. Storm clouds are on the horizon. The economy, wars, rumors of wars, the flu pandemic, rising crime, and the spirit of fear. Prepare for troublesome times with peace of mind. Terra Canyon Ranch is looking for like-minded people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize the times we are in, who see the need for covenant community and a safe haven. Terra Canyon Ranch, located in southeast Colorado, 25 minutes south of Lahana on State Highway 109, is offering a very limited number of parcels, ranging from 40 to 158 acres. Nestled in the canyons of southeast Colorado, Terra Canyon Ranch is a unique safe haven. Call Jim at 719-989-8739 or log on to terracanyon.com, TerraCanon.com. Call 719-989-8739.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Colonel Ron Ray, and he's talking about the control of the media. Ladies and gentlemen, it really is control. It is true that four or five major corporations control almost all of the major American media and largely determine what you hear, what you see, what you read, and what you believe. And, of course, as Edward Bernays had said so well in his book on propaganda back in the 1920s, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Go right ahead, Colonel.
Well, that's true, and this goes all the way back in my research, and I'm sure there were troubles before, but during 1917, Congress conducted investigations into media, and there was indications that Congress and staffs began to be alarmed. And when they conducted their hearings and investigations in January, February of 1917, this is a report from the Congress in March. This is their language from a congressional record. In March 1915, the J.P. Morgan interests got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States and sufficient number of them to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States. They found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise and edit information considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. February 9th, 1917, Congressional Record, page 2947. This goes back, obviously, what was done in 1915 would facilitate what? Why would they wanted to gain control in 1915? What was going on in the world in 1915? Well, World War I, a European war, started in 1914, August 1914. So there was a tremendous amount of interest in Europe and in Britain to get the United States into that war. And that's clearly, so once you have the background of this history and you look at that investigation and how America was brought into the war in 1917, Wilson was reelected president of the United States on a slogan, he kept us out of war, and the plans were already circulating in the War Department, in the White House, and elsewhere to get us involved in a European war, and the media facilitated that. And that, so we think that whatever happened during the Bush administration involving weapons of mass destruction or what other slogans were used is new. In point of fact, this has been going on in the United States at least back to before World War One.
And you know, one of the interesting things is, Colonel, that so much of what George Bush talked about, oh, my goodness, we want to bring democracy to the world. We want to bring democracy to Iraq. We want to spread freedom and democracy. And of course, that was exactly what Wilson said. That was,
he said we're going to make the world safe for democracy.
Make the world safe for democracy.
And what a failure it was.
The war to end all wars, 1917. The war to end all wars, and American boys went over, wouldn't it be wonderful if we're going to end war? And it was all just verbiage. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They wanted to create a world government. Wilson wanted to create a world government. He wanted to take America into that European war and slaughter a lot of Americans so that the American people would be willing to go along with a world government. After all, out of this horrible carnage that came about, how could anybody not want to have a world government? That's what it's all about. But the Senate rejected it. So there were agents always around,
and you've heard, everybody knows Karl Rove, you know, and they all know Dick Cheney. They call him Darth Vader, many do, for what happened during the Bush administration. But who was that man at the very shoulder of Woodrow Wilson, who was an agent of European interests and who'd been raised and trained to do that? Colonel House.
Edward
wrote a book,
Mandel,
the administrator, about how a one man could eventually administer a world government, and he was there to control. And Wilson, in fact, had a stroke, a debilitating stroke, and people said that his wife was essentially acting as president of the United States because it was never revealed to the American people how disabled he was, and Colonel House was essentially functioning as president. During that period of time. But again, if you don't know the history and if you don't understand the true state of affairs, for example, in 1918 when the Bolsheviks came to power in the Soviet Union, from there and after, we had four presidents who refused to recognize, and there was a recognition by Americans that the radical revolution in Bolshevism was similar to what had happened in the French Revolution in 1789. In France, the same sort of radical anti-God atheistic forces, and so Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover refused to recognize the Bolsheviks. And what's one of the first things that Franklin Roosevelt did when he came in, who is the model in many respects, I think, for Obama and some of the people around the Obama? One of the first things he did was recognize this illegitimate radical regime that had overthrown a country that had been, Russia had been very, under the czars, had been favorable to the United States of America. But Hoover, who was a much better president than you can find in our politically correct colleges and universities, including many of the Christian schools, Hoover was a much better president, and he was the last president to say what all his predecessors had said. The primary job of the president is to secure liberty and justice for all Americans. And that's why that very phrase is in the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, he was alarmed at what he saw going, and he could see that he was swept up by these huge financial forces in the fall of the stock market and was swept from power. What did he do? He did what a real patriot American would do. He spent the next 18 months writing a book of The Challenge of Liberty. The Challenge to Liberty was published in 1934. In other words, he didn't travel around getting paid by multinational corporations $250,000 for forgettable speeches like our ex-president seemed to be doing and other former public officials. And this is what he said in The Challenge to Liberty. Bureaucracy has already developed a vast ramifying propaganda subtly designed to control thought and opinion. The constant use of the radio, the platform, and the press, by device of exposition, news, and attack, with one point of view, becomes a powerful force in transforming the nation's mentality and in destroying its independent judgment. Destroying its independent judgment. And that's what Wilson believed, Herbert Hoover believed had already occurred in the late 20s and early 30s. As a result of of J.P. Morgan, who was really acting as an agent for international bankers and international financial forces, primarily in Europe and Great Britain, and that were at work in 1915, which Congress investigated and reported on to the American people. But that effect was already having its way, and so education now, plus a media monopoly, have gotten, with one point of view, I mean, these men were alarmed at what could be done with the written word. Now we have images, and that's what Boorstin was saying. And I think that even the former Bolshevik turned neocon David Horowitz gave a speech, which I happen to agree with, even though I've opposed David Horowitz most of the time when we're involved on various issues. He said, "Our nation's heritage is under attack in our classroom, so why doesn't anybody care?" That's a provocative statement, and that's also true if you go into many of the private Christian schools, that their history is no better than it is in the public schools, and many of them use the same textbooks. You can't understand these questions until you come to grips with how we, the people, receive the information that they can act on and direct their representatives, and it means you have to know history, you have to know history, and you have to have access to timely information.
I agree with you, and the tragedy is most people do not understand that the media is controlled. I'm sure the people who listen to alternative radio do, but the average individual doesn't understand it, and as a result, they don't understand how their reality has been created for them or why there is no great outcry against what is going on today, and that is the destruction of our freedom.
Americans live in a world of pseudo-facts, which is created for them by their own media. What's interesting is, and I heard this from the former publisher of the Washington Times in Washington, who basically confirmed to me when I was talking to him at a CNP meeting in Washington D.C. that the multinational corporation, both foreign and domestic, own the news media. That there's an interlock with advertisers that affects political content and opinion as well as the news operations, and they decide what news and entertainment will be, and the corporate controlled media then decides whether or not to debate or not. In other words, you know, the interesting thing is that he made the point that the most power that the media has is to spike a story. That's what he called. He wrote a book, a novel called The Spike. But the point he was trying to alert us to is that many times it's not a lie, or even a spin. It's just simply you never hear what happened.
Right.
And that goes on more frequently than most Americans know. In fact, if you go back and look in 2005, America fell in the Worldwide Press Freedom Index from 17th place in 2002 to 44th place in 2005. Countries with more of a free press include Slovakia, Germany, Namibia, South Africa, South Korea, and Bosnia. It's a measure of journalistic freedom in 166 countries by Reporters Without Borders. And anyway, it's out there for people to get a hold of, and if they'd like to get a copy of the Nature and Origin of the Media Monopoly, and if they'd like to get the censorship and suppression of history, they can contact... First Principles Press, and that's at P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky, 40014. Send along an envelope and with your return address on it, and we'll be happy to send that out to you. That's First Principles Press, P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky, 40014. And if you have any question or comment, I would be happy to talk to you at 1-800-837-0544, and that we'd be most happy to make sure that you get to see this very important information, and then you can be on your guard and not be lost your independent capacity to make an independent judgment. And that was so essential. The Founding Fathers insisted on that. And we don't even have freedom of speech anymore. But the idea was free speech, but you had to understand history, had to understand what was going on, and be well informed if you were going to be an active part of We the People.
Have you ever put the talk onto a DVD?
I'm not sure we have. You know, I found out on the internet that the people who were paying the most attention to our website were the opposition, who were interested in knowing that we're very small, but we try to provide information to decision makers. We don't do mass communications. We're not trying to reach the large body. We spent a lot of time doing that and realized that. I mean, I realized that these people were subtly controlled thought and opinion, just as Herbert Hoover acknowledged. They didn't want to know the truth, and they weren't willing to receive the truth. But if you could go to a decision maker, remember the Joint Chiefs, a congressman, a senator, a chief of staff of one of those, somebody close to a governor or whatever, if you could get the chance to sit down and provide them some information, briefings, and provide the historical information, then you've got somebody who could use their influence. We're responsible for our time, our talent, our prayer, but we're also responsible for our influence. And there are people, everybody knows somebody on a school board. They know somebody who's a city or county official, you know, and those are the ones that influence that they have. They know somebody, then they need to be able to bring information like this to their attention and develop that very positive relationship, and then encourage them to act. And what it means is, and it's interesting, Stan, most people think, I'm going to call my congressman and ask him to do something. No. He's a representative, and he's got a lot on his plate. If you think something should be done, what should be done? You want to write a letter? Then you draft a letter for him to sign. And if you do that, you'd be surprised how many times the representative or the senator will sign something that's been put together by a constituent.
Well, hold on tough. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Colonel Conway.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Our friends at the Wild Bird Center take this special time to remind listeners that our children and young adults are our future, and that's why we need to educate them on the dangers of drug abuse. So take a moment to let them know you care. Talk to your children about drug abuse. Someday they'll be glad you did. That's from Ken to Stewart and staff at the Wild Bird Center, where they're always working to make our area a safer place for our youth, for the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation. Call today, 303-758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. 303-758-7575. And mention you heard this community announcement. They all wish you a happy and safe summer.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and before we go on, Colonel, one more time, let's get your web page out there and so people would know how to get in touch with you.
Well, it's First Principles Press, and that's Principles, L-E-S, principlespress.org, firstprinciplespress.org, and you can get to us by mail, First Principles Press, P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky, KY40014. And our 800 number is 1-800-837-0544. That's 1-800-837-0544. And be happy to give you this presentation that I'm summarizing are two. One I gave to the Council for National Policy in Colorado Springs, I think in 2003 or 4, and the other one was given to the American Family Association of Florida's statewide conference a couple of years ago on the censorship and the suppression of history, and it was a great forum because the previous speaker the year before had been Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, so they drew a really fine audience. And I think that if you can get down to these fundamental questions to challenge, to get Americans, to get American parents to realize that no matter what school they send their children to, that there's going to be propaganda in that, and that they need to look at the material that they're getting, and they need to teach them that history at home if necessary. Even Ronald Reagan, made the point about teaching history. That it was something that could be talked about at the dinner table. And I think he gave a speech in 1989 before he left office. So he's within 9 days of leaving office. He said all great change in America begins at the dinner table. So tomorrow night in the kitchen, I hope that talking begins. And children, if your parents haven't been teaching you what it means to be an American, let them know and nail them on it. That would be a very American thing to do.
All right. Well, you were going to talk today about Iraq and how we got into this mess and what we ought to be doing.
Well, did you see, I think I sent you...
You sent me that article by the colonel who probably destroyed his career by... telling the truth about Iraq.
Well, we're starting to see. I mean, he basically said we should declare victory and get on home as we've pulled out the major U.S. forces out of the cities, and we're still in a very untenable situation over there. But I mean, it should not come as any surprise to Americans who are paying attention that between 1967 and 1973. Our relationship with Israel changed dramatically in the Middle East. And after the Johnson administration covered up the Israelis attempted to sink the USS Liberty in June in international waters, an unarmed American intelligence gathering ship, much like the Pueblo. And the man responsible for the Navy side of that cover-up was John McCain's father. And when Johnson said to the admiral who had launched the fighter planes off of the Sixth Fleet, and in fact it was a surgical strike on the Liberty, and the Israeli pilots, in fact there was at least one or two, refused to attack an American ship, and in any event they took all the antennas out, but they missed one old Morse code. Sending SOS went out, and the Sixth Fleet launched its planes, which would have been quickly over the Liberty and would have lost less than 34 killed and 170 two wounded. And Robert McNamara told the admiral to recall the planes, and the admiral, to his credit, refused to recall those planes. And what happened after that was that the admiral said, unless the commander-in-chief gives that order to me, I'm gonna protect those sailors, you know. And Johnson came on the line. He said, I don't care how many damn sailors are died, I'm not going to embarrass a good ally. You recall those planes right now. And that dramatically changed what had been American foreign policy in the Middle East, which was even-handed on the two-state solution. Israel was an ally, and we supported the United Nations charter of a two-state solution. In 73, when the Yom Kippur War broke out, and Egypt and Syria attacked Israel, and Israel was having the worst of it in the first few days, Nixon and Henry Kissinger sent a massive airlift of support to the Israelis of all the NATO reserve stores. We're talking tanks, planes, weapons, high-tech weapons, all the stuff we had in NATO to defend us from the so-called best enemy money can buy, the Soviet Union up there, and that came down there. And of course, the truth was, it turned the war around in Yom Kippur in 73. But it obviously, we made enemies of many of the Arab states, if not most of them, because we took such a one-sided position, which created OPEC. OPEC was created, and in response to the creation of OPEC, we had the gas lines in the 70s. Of course, the media monopoly wouldn't tell the American people. They wouldn't connect those dots. And after Yom Kippur, the Deputy Secretary of Defense under the Bush administration began to work on a strategy and a war plan to get the United States into Iraq, and that was pushed very hard. Carter was not seriously questioned, and Carter was very effective in getting peace between Israel and Egypt, and that who'd been the aggressor in 67. That was the peace in the Middle East was what he was trying to do, and Reagan was not going to be bought into that. But George Herbert Walker Bush was pressed very hard to invade Iraq, and the lobbies brought a lot of pressure on him. Think about it. He had 91% approval rating. When he came home in the summer of 1991, he had a 91% American approval rating, almost unbeatable. And then here's this guy out of nowhere, Bill Clinton, who beats him because the media monopoly went for Clinton and began to issue the wimp factor and other things. But Bush refused to invade Iraq according to the plan that had been put together. And then when Clinton was president in his second term, 97-98, there was some legislation passed about the Iraqi threat, and then Clinton was pushed, and Clinton was pushed hard. And Clinton, among other things, checked with George Herbert Walker Bush and got his advice, and Bush told him why. Bush actually told him all the things that happened after 2003 when we invaded Iraq. All the problems he summarized for Clinton, and Clinton refused to. And of course, both Clinton and Bush were penalized, and that was a media-driven affair. One, the Monica Lewinsky, and Bush was defeated for re-election. So you come up to George W. Bush, whose worldview and was different, and he was surrounded by men they call neocons, all of whom were extremely sympathetic to Israel's national security, and they were connected to the Likud party. And some of this is documented in the Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy by Walton Mearsheimer, which is something that I think anybody interested in the Middle East should take a look at. But America never wanted to have entangling alliances. That's the language of George Washington, to have entangling alliances, that we could trade and have good relations and economic relations, but that we were going to go an independent course, the Declaration of Independence of States. And I think that the seeds of that were laid back in that radical change of American foreign policy in the Middle East in the 67 to 73 time frame.
And we'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up the program with Colonel Ron.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Home for rent at Carter Lake with great views from wraparound deck, just 15 minutes from Loveland or Burford, has two master bedrooms with two full baths, is partially furnished, and includes hot tub, fireplace, wood-burning stove, storage sheds, large garden, chickens are optional. 2 acres with plenty of room for your outdoor toys. Great neighbors. Pets are welcome. For more information, call 970-667-4509. That's 970-667-4509.
A&H Heating and Air Conditioning says, let's keep our kids away from drugs this summer. Get to know their friends, set stricter curfews, and do things together as a family. Get involved, because drug abuse is no joking matter. This message is from A&H Heating and Air Conditioning, where service is more than a word. It's a fact backed by the right know-how and experience proven by customers who wouldn't trust their work to anyone else but A&H Heating, formerly known as Valley Heating and Air Conditioning. That's A&H Heating and Air Conditioning at 165 Long Peak Street in Brighton. Call 659-1087. That's 659-1087.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is Myrtle. Morning, Colonel Ron Ray. Colonel, do you want to go ahead and continue? Colonel?
Yes, there, Stan.
Go right ahead.
Well, I think that's kind of a nutshell on it. And, you know, I think that if you go back to the USS Maine being sunk in Havana, Cuba Harbor, the Spanish government in Cuba urged us not to bring a warship into Havana Harbor, and February of 1892, thereabouts.
No, it was 1898 that we had.
1898. That's exactly right. I appreciate that. And you know, under suspicious circumstances, the Maine was sunk there in Havana Harbor. We ignored the Spanish request. We immediately declared. Almost similar, you remember that there was no connection between Iraq and 9/11, but we immediately began to talk about invading Iraq after 9/11, and so the American government blamed the Spanish for the sinking of the Maine, and it came out later on under very suspicious circumstances that there were even evidence that it could have been an inside job, but we declared war on Spain and were intent on extending the American empire into the Caribbean and Cuba and the Philippines. And we went into the Philippines, and the Philippines thought we were helping them gain independence, and they admired America greatly, and we came in there, and we defeated the Spanish army very quickly, very much like we defeated the Iraqi army very quickly. And then the Filipinos realized we came to stay, and they began an insurgency. They began to fight back because they wanted their independence, and then we stayed for quite a long time in the Philippines. But our casualties were all taken, not in the defeat, not in the fight with the Spanish army in the Philippines, but in the occupation that followed. We took tens of thousands of casualties over there, and so the parallels in 1898 and the parallels in how we were maneuvered into World War One, and of course Pearl Harbor. You've done some wonderful work on that, Dr. Stan. You probably have a four-tape set on Pearl Harbor, Day of Deceit, and some of the materials that are out there. And then the Gulf of Tonkin. I went on active duty in the Marine Corps as a second lieutenant on August of 1964, and the lies that were told about the fact that there weren't any. The fact that there was a North Vietnamese torpedo attack on the USS Maddox and the USS Turner Joy in August of 64 was a lie. And I first was confirmed for me by the senior senator from Kentucky who spoke at the University of Louisville Law School. So I had some personal knowledge in the spring of 1970. I'd just been out of the Marine Corps for less than a year. And he came and spoke, and he asked if there was any questions, and I had a short haircut and a coat and tie on, and not like my classmates, which were mostly of the college hippie variety. And so he called on me and asked about the Gulf of Tonkin, and he and Thurston Morton, who's a very understated, soft-spoken kind of guy, tough guy, he said Lyndon lied like a dog. There weren't any North Vietnamese torpedoes or torpedo boats out there. And which was the first time that I sort of had that confirmed for me. And while my son was at the Virginia Military Institute before his deployment to Iraq, I see a guy walking across the parade deck, an old veteran, and he has a hat on, a dark blue and gold Navy ship hat, USS Turner Joy, and I go up and introduce myself and ask him when he served on the Turner Joy. He said 1964, and I said, were you there in August? He said, I was. I said, what was your responsibility? He said, I was the chief sonarman. And I said, I've got to know. And he said, there weren't any torpedoes or torpedo boats out there. And they took me from the Navy, sent me to an obscure Navy base in Italy. And I couldn't be questioned by the media. I was there for 5 or 6 months.
In other words, all those boys who died in Vietnam died for nothing. It was all a lie.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have to. Yeah, it was a lie. We were lied to war, and we were lied to war in with the Spanish, and we were lied to war, manipulated and lied to war in World War One, and the same in World War Two, and of course, there are a lot of people who say that Korea, when the Secretary of State Dean Acheson made the statement that the security perimeter of the United States didn't include Korea, which in our national security interests and security perimeter was an invitation for the invasion of the North Koreans into South Korea, but that's not as clear a call as the others are. But no question that we were lied into that war and manipulated into a war with there was no intent, with the severe rules of engagement. Most Vietnam veterans have never seen Barry Goldwater and Jesse Helms fought like dogs for 3 or 4 years to get the official rules of engagement that had been heavily classified, declassified, so that veterans could about three-quarters of an inch thick, and it just makes your stomach turn when you realize what sort of limitations and regulations were put on us, and it was clearly not intended for us to prevail. It was clearly intended for us to fail. If you think about it, 21 years, a country the size of the state of Mississippi, would you think that in the war game analysis before that happened, you would think it would last 21 years against a third world country the size of the state of Mississippi, and America would lose after 21 years of effort? That dog won't hunt. That's a self-evident truth, and I think Americans have to be,
but never to be allowed to win until people understand that we were not to be allowed to win. We couldn't even bomb the major rail lines. We couldn't bomb or mine Haiphong Harbor.
Well, that was the key. I had the privilege of working with Admiral Tom Moore, who I think was a guest of yours at least once or twice. On the Panama Canal and other issues, and Admiral Moore was America's leading expert on mine warfare. He'd been sent against his will to a year-long course on mine warfare in Great Britain, which he said, I thought, he laughed and said, you know, I had a great year in Britain, but it was my worst time in the Navy. I was too far from the fleet, and I didn't like the course and everything else, but I, you know, learned. So he knew. He was our expert, and as chief of naval operations in the 60s, in the mid-60s, when this was all hot, he told Johnson and he told Nixon, he said, if you mine Haiphong Harbor, where 80 to 90% of our war-making, the North Vietnamese war-making power, he said, the war will be over in 6 months if we mine Haiphong Harbor.
Well, we're out of time, Colonel. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll...
Always a pleasure, Stan.
Talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Allstate Sweeping reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message is from Allstate Sweeping. They're a concerned area business working toward drug-free communities for our youngsters. That's Allstate Sweeping, located at 10150 East 106th Avenue in Brighton.
Dr. Stan, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Colonel Ray. I always do. I think that to understand the background of what really goes on in Iraq or and what has happened, you need to get a book entitled The Devil's Game. And it was written by a CIA agent, Robert Baer, who was actually in Iraq all during the 1990s in Kurdistan. Pardon me, in Kurdistan, and he basically said that, you know, he never met an Iraqi who didn't believe that the American government was keeping Saddam in power, and many of them believed he was actually working with the CIA, because why? They knew he'd worked for the CIA. Saddam Hussein worked for the CIA in the 1950s. He was paid as an assassin for the CIA. We helped to bring him to power in 79. We kept him in power. We financed his war with the Iranians. And then, of course, we kept him in power after the first Gulf War. Time and again, the Iraqi generals tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein. Each time, they made the mistake of contacting the American State Department beforehand, and the State Department betrayed the Iraqi generals, and they were arrested, and their families were tortured to death, and they were tortured to death because we kept Saddam Hussein in power. But we can't let the American people know that. If you want to understand the background of the attack on the Liberty, you need to get our 4-tape set on the Liberty, the video and the DVD we have on the attack on the Liberty. In fact, we have a special with a lot of information on the whole issue. But basically, it was an American operation put forward by Robert McNamara and Lyndon Johnson so we would have an excuse to go to war with Egypt. And they actually got the Israelis to attack the American warship, the USS Liberty, with the idea of killing everybody on board. And that way we could justify going to war with Egypt. Say Egypt did it, and then we could go to war, just like we went to war with the Gulf of Tonkin, but it didn't occur as we went to war after the sinking of the Maine, but the Spanish didn't sink the Maine. As we got into World War One, oh my goodness, you know, the war to end all wars, to make the world safer democracy, it was all contrived. And you better get involved right now because we're on the verge of going to war with Iran. It's only a matter of time before we go. How soon? I have no idea. But you can tell they're planning on doing it because they keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And we already have sanctions on Iran. That is an act of war. We are going to war with Iran. How soon? I don't know, but an awful lot of Americans are going to die as a result of it. Now, you need to get our 4-tape set on the USS Liberty. And, of course, you need to get the USS Liberty special, the video, the DVD, or get the special at a reduced price. You need to get the book, The Devil's Game. And, of course, that book goes into the background of everything that goes on over there. The book by Robert Baer, his name escapes me right now, but you could call and request that. He was the CIA agent. Devil's Game goes into how we finance the whole Islamic terrorist movement. But we can't let the American people know that we finance the Islamic terrorist movement. Where did Hamas come from? It was financed by the CIA and the Mossad, the best enemies money could buy.